No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith. This week, we are your crew for Just Plane Radio. We're going to navigate the latest aviation news and information. Mine is Captain Ed. Because, well, he's just not here once again. I don't know. He was a little bit under the weather. He was hacking a little bit during the show last week. And he passed that along to Keith, who can barely talk, but he's going to suffer through because we can't go without
a
captain. You're here.
But I'm here.
Sucking on lozenges, which is better than sucking on other things. So we'll go with that for now. And if he falls over, you know, mid-flight today, we got backups. We got extra crew to help out today. First up, Tom Haynes from AOPA is with us on Just Plane Radio. Tom, welcome. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing really well on this beautiful day. It's great to catch up with you guys.
You got it, buddy. Now, there's been a lot of stuff going on in the news, and several things I wanted to kind of bounce off of you. The top of the news wires have just been going nutty. They've just been going nonstop this week. And I think one of the most entertaining stories I have found in the world of aviation is the fact that the FAA has put forth their deadline for ADS-B for 2020. And the Air Force has come out this week and said, we're not going to be able to make the deadline. What the hell is going on, Tom? What is that all about?
Apparently, they don't have enough money. I don't know.
What? Shocking.
Yeah, imagine that. Imagine that, the government not having enough money.
But we do.
Not only they don't have enough money, but they're saying, like, the report that I read said that aircraft like the F-22 Raptor, there's really not an option to put it in that aircraft.
What do you mean? Can't they just get an iPad and do some kind of four-flight external ADS-B unit that we have to get for our Cessnas or something and plug that in?
There might be some issues with that.
What? What? Come on. Could it be
RF from the iPad or something like that? Makes you show up on somebody's radar, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. They're not super secure, maybe. The Air Force needs a little bit more of a firewall in place.
I think the FAA, I mean, I just went through this with the airline trying to get an electronic flight bags. I think the FAA would like the iPad to be that secure, but unfortunately, it's not.
Okay. So maybe there's some security issues. Now, from what I read, and maybe you know more about this than I, Tom, because you follow this stuff nonstop there at AOPA. But I read something that the Air Force had money budgeted for this project to get their ADS-B stuff, you know, installed in their planes. But the budget they had available, they didn't spend it, or they spent it somewhere else. So now they don't have enough money to finish. Is that what I'm reading correctly, or do you know?
I probably read the same thing that you did.
Okay.
And, it does appear that they didn't spend some money. And, you know, the federal government can be, if you don't spend money one year, you don't have available the next year, despite that there may have been legitimate reasons why you didn't spend it in a particular year. And then now suddenly you don't have it available. Mm. The other thing to keep in mind is, you know, the airlines are facing this too, as Keith can attest, is that the airplane, the cockpit systems in these kinds of airplanes are so much more complicated than the ones in most of our light airplanes that we can just kind of add a box to our airplanes and it's relatively simple from an installation standpoint, and it only has to might be even a completely independent system, doesn't really have to talk to much of anything else on the airplane. Whereas with the airlines and the military airplanes, they've got a lot of systems that all are required to communicate with each other, and just the idea of adding on a box it's not so simple in complex airplanes like this. So,
well, wouldn't
the idea
they be?
It's going to take them longer.
Wouldn't they be more?
And they have to have backup systems.
Well, I understand that, but wouldn't they be more effective than having to spend what was like $5-6 billion or whatever they had budgeted for this, and you just throw it out to like Tyson there at 4Flight and say, "Hey, guys, hook us up with some iPads and 4Flight and work this ADS-B thing out for us." And they could do that like for a fraction of the cost, maybe. You think?
Well, there's, you know, the ADS-B out is what we're talking about here, and that really doesn't have anything to do with an iPad. iPads deal with ADS-B in, which is the information that results from having an ADS-B out signal.
Ah, okay.
So it's it really has to do with black boxes buried behind the panel or inside the airplane somewhere when it comes to ADS-B out, which is what it is that the Air Force is going to miss and what air traffic control someday is going to use to control airplanes instead of radar, or in addition to radar is the more likely scenario.
Right. And this is basically just a little ping box, right? It's just sending out a signals that they can pick up at the tower and identifies the plane, altitude, that kind of stuff. It's just a constant little transmitter thing. It doesn't seem like it should be that difficult to put one of those things in to these planes.
Yeah, but if number one, if you don't have room.
Yeah, well, okay. But it doesn't have to be that big, does it?
No, not necessarily. But, you know, if you look at some of the military aircraft especially, those things are designed. There's not a whole lot of room left to change anything. You know, they're very compact. And
so
the fighter jets.
So you're going to justify the cost that they're saying? It's like, you know, I don't know, it's like $4 to $6 billion.
I'm not going to justify it at all. I mean, have you ever known a government entity to come up with a budget and meet that budget and do it on time?
Well, I just think it's funny in a sense that we got the FAA, government agency, putting a deadline on everybody, and the government agency, the other one, can't make it.
And the interesting thing is when the FAA put this mandate out for January 1 of 2020, they said, we will give no waivers.
So, I don't know. Are you getting... I'm already seeing a lot of rumblings online about general aviation pilots being like, wait a minute. You know, the Air Force can't make it because they're whining about the cost. And yet, we can get this done on our Cessna. It's going to cost a couple grand for a cheap option, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Well, of course, you don't know what the ramifications of it could be, that the FAA is going to say to the military, hey, guys, fine, if you don't make it, then you can't fly in this airspace or that airspace. You can't mix it up with civilian traffic. So they may put some restrictions on them as a result of them not being able to meet the mandate. Wait to see on that one.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if the FAA was going to try to, hammer the military. It seems like it would go the other way. You see what I'm saying? Like oh, yeah, you're going to make us do what? Excuse me? Who has the arsenal here?
In a situation like, say, 9/11, then obviously the military takes over.
Right. Okay, but it would have to be that? No, I think it just our planes are pretty big. You can tell us what you want, but we'll do what we want to do. I'm just saying, you know, a plane with like, that's armed might have a little bit more convincing, ammunition? No, that's not the right word.
Authority?
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's it. One of those.
Are you saying that they're going to start strafing air traffic control centers and towers and that sort of thing?
Well, I'm just, anything could happen.
Let me fly.
This political environment, God knows. All right. Well, there you go. It's kind of a interesting little story with this ADS-B.
Permission to buzz the tower, sir.
Yeah, right.
Just to make a point. Just to show them who's in charge.
Yeah. I would say this one isn't over yet. We need to see what the FAA is going to respond, how the FAA is going to respond.
Maybe it's they're just grandstanding right now. I don't know. It's kind of comical in one sense, though. You got to find the humor in some of this stuff, for sure. All right. Now, the other thing is, and this kind of hits closer to home for me, I have signed up for my third class medical. I'm trying to meet the April 1st deadline. Because, as we talked about last week, if I don't, it's going to potentially take like 3 weeks because of this new system that the FAA has set up for getting your private pilot medical.
Student pilot medical.
Yeah, student pilot medical. So I've done it. I made the plans. I'm ready to get it next week so I can beat that. And then I realized, wait a minute, the deadline is April 1st, which is Fool's Day. Have I just been taken for a ride? Have I been punked, Tom, or what? What's going on?
Man, you're on to us. We had the whole internet lit up with the idea we were going to pull this over on Greg, and he figured us out. Bummer.
Well, hey, it worked on me at least. But I mean, are you getting these grumblings from other potential pilots, or seeing the roadblock that is being thrown into folks that want to get their license?
Yeah, well, we're certainly getting a lot of questions. I was talking to one of the folks who works in our pilot information center this morning, and she was telling me that it's the number one question they're getting these days is from mostly from flight instructors at this point, because students don't even know what questions to ask. But flight instructors are calling and saying, what is it I need to do again, and how do I make this happen? And of course, there's all kinds of special circumstances where students progress really quickly, and the idea that they've got to wait 3 weeks is going to be really detrimental to their development.
True.
So a lot of those challenges to overcome. We've got a lot of information out on our website that tries to explain it. We've got a chart that lays out the details, so you can go there and look for it.
I got to tell you, if I have to wait 3 weeks between learning to do something, I will have to learn it all over again and start from scratch. Not a good plan for me.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night.
Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You were born to fly.
Hi, my name's Ariel Tweedo. You may remember me from Flying Wild Alaska on the Discovery Channel. You are listening to Just Plain Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly.
And how do you keep your feet on the ground when you know?
So what the hell are you waiting on?
Yeah.
My third class medical, which I'm going to try to get that done this week, and then I'll be good to go, and Keith's going to take me up in a plane and teach me how to fly again, right?
I am. But, I got a call from one of our listeners this week.
You did? Uh-oh.
Yes.
Mom or dad?
Neither.
Okay. Oh, really?
He's an actual listener.
All right. So is it a complaint? Go ahead.
And so his complaint is the fact that he emailed you a long time ago.
Yeah.
And since that time, while working two jobs and raising his family
right.
of four kids,
mm-hmm.
within 1 year's time, he got his private pilot certificate.
Okay. So what's the problem?
The problem is you don't have yours yet.
Well, yeah, but I am here to make our listeners look good and feel good about themselves.
Well,
you hear what I'm saying?
You made him look like a superstar.
Well, hey. I'm a giving person. You back me up on that, wouldn't you,
Larry,
Tom?
Larry.
I would. giving people grief.
I'm just going to say this. Larry is a superstar compared
yes.
to Greg.
Okay. He's a superhero in my
he
book.
Is.
And you are welcome, Larry.
And thanks
I'm glad
for
that my misery makes you feel so good about yourself.
You are an inspiration to others, Greg.
Okay. That's one of the best ways I've ever been described. And I'll take it, because usually it involves like four-letter words and things like that. But whatever. Okay. I am making progress, slowly but surely. And hopefully I'm not being punked.
Did you get your eyes fixed?
We talked about that. You weren't here at that show, but I went and checked them, and they said, no, you can't fix them.
Right.
Long story short.
So you're just going to do glasses.
I'm just going to revert back to the cheaters, and I guess, the aviation doc will tell me. When I go meet with him about that. But, it's the same setup I had before. Which I was trying to just see if I could eliminate the fact of having to use cheaters by doing LASIK or something, Dom, and it just didn't work out. So
I hear you. I'm in that boat, too.
So, I'll succumb and do what I got to do. But it's no problem. It won't stop me. So I'll get that done, make some progress, get my third class medical. We'll get back up in the airplane and start. We'll realize how much I've lost because it's been a couple of years since I've been in the plane. So it'll be interesting to see, especially from Ed and Keith's point, how much I have forgotten. You think? What are you getting?
Well, we have a pretty good idea.
You do? What do you mean?
Well, we've talked to you on a pretty regular basis.
Right, and so. I retain a lot of it, don't I?
Retrain a lot?
Yes. Well, I'm a retrain a lot of it.
Yes.
And retain maybe a little bit.
Can you say aileron?
Yeah, aileron, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, isn't Trump trying to keep those out of there?
Yes.
Aliens? Okay, anyway. Well, let's talk about some other aviation news. Enough about me for once. There's some other, what is this, part 65? What is it, part what?
Part 23.
Part 23.
Which is the FAA regulations that govern certification of aircraft.
Okay.
And Tom's got some news on that for us.
What's going on, Tom?
Yeah, well, this just in sort of thing is that a 10-year effort is finally beginning to culminate with the FAA as this week they've issued, finally put out a notice of proposed rulemaking around what we've been calling Part 23 rewrite, which is taking those regulations that define what can go into an airplane and how it gets certified, both the airplane itself and some of the gear in it. And basically modernizes that, takes into account, sort of the 21st century, if you will, and isn't so prescriptive in how it is that a manufacturer can certify either an airframe or some of the equipment that goes in it, like avionics, for example. So it makes it much easier. Well, in theory, it's supposed to make it much easier for companies to bring new equipment, new safety equipment in particular, into airplanes. So we'll see how it goes. This is the notice of proposed rulemaking. There's a 60-day comment period. We at AOPA are going to be weighing in on this 285-page notice to figure out what it says and what it means to GA pilots and aircraft manufacturers, and we'll be commenting on that over the next 60 days. So it's a lot to do.
Do you think that this is going to be good for the aircraft manufacturers, kind of like it was when they put a 20-year limitation on the lawsuits?
That was actually the 18-year statute of repose in the right. General Aviation Revitalization Act in 1994. But, I think it's going to really be helpful to aircraft manufacturers, particularly those who are willing to kind of go back to the drawing board and invest in the creation of new designs and new airframes altogether. Because the airplanes we have today, if you buy a new Bonanza today, for example, it's based on the type certificate from 1947, and it's what was called CAR 3, which was the predecessor to Part 23 that we currently certify airplanes under. So we've amended type certificates over the years for even newly manufactured airplanes. And so this will be a way to really go back and start anew, if you will, and take advantage of new thinking in aerodynamics, new thinking in installation of avionics and that sort of thing. So it will not be inexpensive for manufacturers, but the goal is to make it easier for them to make those kind of investments, make it more productive for them.
Now, so we're talking about airplanes like maybe like that new Icon or something like that. Is that what we're talking about? To maybe bring something like that closer to market quicker? maybe?
Well, it's the Icon is actually a light sport aircraft, which falls under a different set of rules. That's not Part 23. That's an ASTM standard that it was built to. But what it would allow is a company like Icon to bring out the Icon 2, for example, mm-hmm. which would be a Part 23 certified airplane. So you could carry more than two people. It would have a higher gross weight. You could go faster, do more stuff with it. And bring that airplane to market more quickly than they otherwise could under today's Part 23 regulations. So it's meant to simplify it for companies like that.
Yeah, simplify it with 250 pages of legislation.
285.
Or 285.
Yeah.
Well, see.
But, I mean, you know, that's the way the government works. But if they could simplify it, maybe manufacturers like Cessna can come back and build some other airplanes.
Yeah,
172 is just way too expensive now.
Yeah, about $400,000, or maybe more than that if you're an individual buying it. The other thing it does, it also opens the doors to simplifying the installation of new equipment into legacy airplanes. It doesn't go as far as we would like it to there, but it does open that door to make it easier to install modern avionics into an existing airplane. So take my old Bonanza. You can, under these guidelines, you would be able to install some equipment in there fairly easily that under today's regulations would be pretty difficult.
Very nice. For instance, like an iPad.
He's hooked on that iPad.
Hey, making an iPhone. iPhone 6 Plus. All right. Well, Tom, thanks for the update. We appreciate it. AOPALive.org. You can go there and check out Tom and the gang. We'll talk to you again real soon, my friend.
Great talking with you guys. Have a good show.
And more coming up, including lights from Sun and Fun. Yeah, that's next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings. Can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals, FTPros.com, the website to go to and learn how to fly and have him as your flight instructor. So Sun and Fun, the biggest, well, it's just an awesome time of year because it is the launch of the air show season. And we got Lights, the big kahuna from Sun and Fun, on Just Plane Radio right now. How are you doing, Lights?
Outstanding, getting better every second. I'm on the way to Nirvana.
On the way to Nirvana? Is that what he said? Keith?
That's what he said.
That's right, on the way to Nirvana. Nirvana is that perfect place in life when all the synergies of aviation come together and we show a camaraderie of the love of the sky and airplane.
See, he's got the right attitude for sure.
And you're going to arrive right around April 5th?
Tuesday, yeah. The 5th of April, we launch the show and it goes all the way to Sunday, the 10th of April.
Yeah, Tuesday to Sunday, starting April 5th, and a lot of exciting new things for the big event this year. What can you tell us?
This year is our celebration of the 75th anniversary of the United States military, because on December 7th of 1941, it wasn't the attack on Pearl Harbor, but it was the metamorphic beginning of the change of our military to a world superpower as we've become today. Mm-hmm. So we're recognizing that at Sun and Fun, by honoring our armed services. The Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, and the Coast Guard are the highlights of our show this year.
Excellent. And that's always a highlight of Sun and Fun, but this year it's going to even be kicked up a notch, though, huh?
Yes, sir, absolutely. And we've got every single service is represented with their best and brightest to perform for us. So all the major components of our armed service, the best and the most lethal, will be there to demonstrate their prowess for the American public that makes it possible.
Excellent. All right. Well, you get all the details for the spring break of aviation. Sun-Fun. What is it again, Light?
Sun-in-fun.org, because that's right. We're nonprofit, and every penny we raise goes to put kids in cockpits.
It's a great cause and just a great event. We'll be there doing our thing at the Sunset Grill and look forward to it. All right, Lights, thanks so much, buddy. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Looking forward to seeing you in about 3 weeks.
And we got more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Hey,
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Any of you boys seen an aircraft carrier around here?
This is Just Plain Radio. That is Rush, and I guess the drummer Neil Peart from Rush is having some issue. We're sorry to hear about that. If you're a Rush fan, Google it and wish him the best and the band the best. All right, look, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world of aviation, and Keith, we're not going to talk about drones today, but we are going to talk a little bit about some other conspiracy theory things that are kind of related, and you know, they're taking over the world kind of deal. You know, yeah. Chemtrails. That is a, you know, you Google that, chemtrails. A lot of UFO folks believe chemtrails are like the end of the world or something.
Yeah, that, you know, a lot of people think that the government's putting some kind of chemicals up there to make us all
sick.
Yeah,
chemtrails. You know? That's what they're called, yeah. Right? And what do you think? Are you buying into this nonsense or no? You're not.
No.
So should we try to enlighten the world right now and explain what
it's water vapor.
It's water. It's no different than when you go out on a cold morning and blow smoke out of your mouth.
Exactly.
That's what it is. So all you conspiracy theorists that feel that, you know, us pilots flying around above your heads are you know, poisoning you or some doing some crazy nonsense like that, it's just not true. It depends on the air temp at altitude. On how big those chemtrails or long they're going to be. They're cool, aren't they?
But
that's not the same of what we would see at an air show.
No, definitely not.
Now,
that is smoke.
That is real smoke, like we'll see at Sun and Fun in a few weeks.
Oh, we're going to see a lot of it there.
And that is created by what?
Well, they have different ways of doing it, and depending on what the show is. But
yeah.
They have smoke machines that are attached to the airplanes that allow them to... turn it off when they need it.
Big time smoke, too.
Yes.
It is pretty impressive how much smoke they get out of those. But I have wondered if you walk through that cloud of smoke, if you're going to, like, hack.
Probably.
You think?
It's probably not the best for you, but...
It's like, you know, cruising through downtown Havana in Cuba when I was there. And some of those 57 Chevys that were pumping out the diesel fumes.
Yeah, there you go.
Lots of clouds of smoke. I'm thinking that was much more toxic than anything they're pumping out of these airplanes.
Yeah.
So even if it was, you know, something as part of an air show. But the clouds of smoke are cool. But nothing to worry about. So we've put that myth to bed.
And it's not the military either, because every jet aircraft that's up at altitude in the right temperature... will do contrails like that.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever been up there? You used to do that when you were flying commercial, right?
Yeah.
You ever been up there and, like, you know, you're leaving a contrail and like, hey, why don't I just leave a note for Susie down there below?
Yeah, well, you know, you can't actually see your own contrail, but you know you're leaving a contrail when you have crossing traffic.
Right.
And they're leaving a contrail, so you know you are.
Well, that'd be no different from a Skywriter, wouldn't it?
Pretty much.
I mean, I guess a Skywriter is using some kind of smoke.
Yeah.
So it's not the same as a chemtrail or chemtrail, right?
No. I mean, this quote-unquote chemtrail is water vapor from your exhaust, because the exhaust is so hot and cooling rapidly.
Mm-hmm. But if you were so inclined, you could spell something out with it, couldn't you? I would imagine you could. It'd be just like a Skywriter.
Only if you want to get fired.
Well,
I mean, you can't fly like that with an airliner.
Well, if you told them what we're doing, like, hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is your pilot speaking. We are going to take some stiff turns right now to make a smiley face for our friends below. Please bear with us. No?
Yeah, no. That doesn't work.
I think people would find that quite humorous.
I think some people
would. They could probably
pull
that off on Southwest or something, you know?
Some people would find it humorous. Others would not.
Yeah, maybe.
Just like some people don't find any kind of turbulence humorous in any way.
Well, it wouldn't necessarily be turbulence. Turbulence.
No. I'm just saying that if you were making, you know, S turns and climbs and mm-hmm. you know, whatever to make the letters or whatever you're going to make,
an emoji.
Yeah, it's not that just smooth flying that everybody wants on an airliner.
Well, maybe you might be correct.
They don't pay for Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah, they would actually pay extra. Maybe if you did it in advance, say, "Hey, we got a special trip planned. We're gonna do a little sky riding on our trek from New York to L.A. today, ladies and gentlemen." Whatever. Yeah, that's why I don't run an airline. But you know, those flights though could get shorter thanks to NASA. Here's some other news for you. NASA has targeted the return of supersonic passenger flights. Did you see this one, Keith?
I just saw the headlines. I actually have not read the article yet.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this, you know, in the past, and I guess NASA is behind trying to, I don't know, jumpstart the process, and they're calling it low boom flight demonstration or something to that effect. I mean, we've talked about, you know, the problem with supersonic flying is that you got that sonic boom issue that can create havoc if you have multiple planes doing it, let alone one.
Right.
But
well,
now they
get
got
window shattering and all kinds of things that could possibly happen.
Well, we're used to it in Orlando.
We are.
We haven't had it in a few years, but the space shuttle used to give us these sonic booms all the time, and you'd always know, oh, shell's landing. It'd be like, you know, it'd shake the whole house, and, you know, usually wouldn't break a window or nothing, but you'd feel it.
No, but if you
did
it at low altitude, it would.
Yeah.
You know, there at such high altitude, it doesn't do it.
It's not quite as bad.
Right.
Yeah. But evidently they got technology now where the wings and or something won't create as the same type of sonic boom, or it'll be a low boom, is what they're calling it according to NASA. Do you know what is it? Is it just the wing design? Is that it, or do you know?
I actually don't know the answer to it. I know that the space shuttle gave us two sonic booms all the time.
Yeah,
one was the front, one was the back.
Right.
But exactly what gave it to us, I'm not real sure.
Well, you know, when you
look that up.
Well, when you look at the artist's renderings of these you know, prototype planes that NASA is supporting or helping to, you know, get the technology pushed forward, I guess they look like a slimmed down version of the Concorde. So they have that different type of wingspan or that long flap type of wing. So that must have something to do with it. I mean, Concorde, did that have a big sonic boom on it or no?
It did, and that it was not allowed to fly over the States. It was only allowed to go into the
off the coast directly.
Off the coast, yeah, like New York, Miami, you know, mm-hmm. those type of airports.
Yeah, but it left a pretty big boom when it took off or when it reached that supersonic speed?
It hits that speed, it does, and when it, you know, slows back down through it again. Just like the space shuttle did.
Yeah. Do they feel that on the plane, too, or no? Like, for instance, when the shuttle would make that sonic boom or the Concorde would make a sonic boom, would you feel that on the plane or hear it, too? Or would they be way too far gone and they wouldn't hear what the kind of...
I think we need to ask some astronauts that question.
We need to ask NASA. They're right down the street from us here in Orlando. So there you go, guys. You can answer that question for us. I'm just curious. Because on one sense, you know, if you're flying at supersonic speeds, and, you know, it's kind of like a guy with a loud Harley, you're just kind of showing off a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You don't really care if other people hear it. It's really...
Well, yeah, you do.
Well, you do. No, you're long gone by the time they would hear it. That's what my point is.
Not if you're
you don't want to hear
not
that
if you're on a Harley.
Well, you want to feel and you want to hear that...
No, you want others to hear that so that they can hear you coming before they see you.
Oh,
that way
okay.
They don't hit you.
Well, okay, I guess you could look at it from a safety standpoint. I'm thinking of more of a kind of like a, hey, look, I got a Harley and you don't. Suck it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, see, and I never looked at it like that.
You're too responsible in that regard. I mean, Keith rides a Harley and he's like, I don't know. You take a too responsible kind of attitude to that.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that's not old wing. Maybe. Or you need to start flying supersonically and showing off a little bit. You know what I mean?
Well, come watch some of our drills.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Your whole little Shriner routine—that's a whole different kind of motorcycle thing. Yeah, we're not really connected right now on that. You hear what I'm saying?
I hear you. What you're saying?
Yes.
Let's go back to the supersonic flight.
Yeah. You know, the stuff you're talking about, the whole Shriner cars and the hats and stuff is nice, and it takes skill.
Yeah, I was never a Shriner.
Well,
but that's okay. Okay. Let's go back to the supersonic flight.
All right, you would do that, but you just don't know if you would feel it.
Right.
Or you wouldn't want to feel it, I guess.
No, I don't think you would want to feel it.
I don't think so. It would be nice to hear it and then go, hey, take that, loser. See, that's what happens when you can't fly a plane. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, maybe that's just me again, is it?
That might just be you.
Okay.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Does your head feel like it's going to implode when you swim to the bottom of a pool? Well, I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you how divers go way deeper without any problem next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Pressure can create pain and many other issues for diving. However, divers easily and comfortably reach depths at 100 feet or more by learning techniques to equalize their ears and sinuses. It's really quite simple to do. If you've ever flown in an airplane and yawned to clear the pressure in your ears, you can likely do the same underwater by following some basic tips from a dive instructor. Dive into dan.org for more info and Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Watch the sky.
I like the spike with pain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. We are your crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so, you know, we've talked about sonic booms. Supersonic flight might be coming our way eventually. I see another thing. You know, our buddy Clay, Keith, you know, he flies at Piper Saratoga. And I guess Piper has, or what Hartzell? What is it?
Hartzell.
Hartzell has a new five-blade prop for Piper airplanes that they claim will be quieter because it's a carbon fiber composite. For certain Piper, you know, like Meridians, M500, single-engine turboprops and things like that. But I didn't understand how the composition of a prop would make it quieter.
Well, it's not only the composition of it, but it's having more blades which cover that sphere as that circumference as the blade is going around. You don't have as many gaps in there.
Hmm. So it's
more blades, it can turn a little bit slower.
Okay, so it doesn't have to smack the wind, which is making the noise? Is that what's going on, so to speak? creating its own little sonic boom with the blade. Mm-hmm. So more blades, less rotation, less sound.
Something each, to that each blade does more work.
Okay, but why would it? Why would like carbon fiber versus you know, like aluminum or whatever the hell?
Well,
they're
if
made
you
of.
Take if you take a regular prop that's say two or three blades mm-hmm. and make it five blades, the extra weight would just be way too much.
Ah, okay. So it's more of a weight and more blades gives it yes. a little bit more efficiency.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. So now Clay has something new he can buy.
Yeah, I don't think they have one for his airplane yet.
You don't think so?
No.
This is more of a high-end type of deal right now?
The turboprops.
Would it help his plane, like a Piper Saratoga, if they did have such a thing, or no?
Probably not as much, because he's already got three blades on his, I believe.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, it probably the you need you know a bigger plane, higher performance type of thing,
right?
Where you get into that ballpark. Okay, well, fair enough. There you go.
And to make the cost that it's going to just the acquisition of it and putting it on would be cost prohibitive
mm-hmm.
unless you're doing a tremendous amount of flying, which. You know, he does more than the average person does.
Yeah, and he's made of money. And right. he will definitely be cursing my name for saying that right now. But I kid, Clay. All right, whatever. Some other stuff. Okay, so I saw this other article, Keith, and maybe you can shed some light on this. It was, it's written by, well, it's in Flying Magazine, and they're talking about how to avoid the pitfalls of flying with passengers. And I thought, wait a minute, I thought that was the whole point. It's like, there's pitfalls for flying with passengers. So, if you're the pilot in command, don't you usually want to have people with you, or no?
Well, I enjoy having people with me.
Yeah. Some people want to get away from it all and not have anyone else in the plane with them.
Yeah. There's some people that just enjoy getting away completely on their own. It's just them and, you know, the hum of the motor and
a little bit of background noise
of the ATC. And
Clay is like that.
Clay is like that.
But I just figured it was just he didn't particularly care for flying with me.
Well.
Because I talk too much.
You know. he did confide in me a little bit after that trip. But
yeah.
No, I mean, there are some issues with passengers. You know, you have to, obviously, you have to brief the passengers. That's a regulation. You have to brief them.
Yeah.
Passengers, if they get fidgety, you know, they want to touch, they want to do this and that, depending on the aircraft that you're flying, they could be changing radio stations and not even know it, and now you're not hearing ATC.
Right.
Fuel selector valves can be, or shutoff valves can be turned on, turned off. Tanks could be switched.
Well, there's that latest episode of Modern Family where the guy, you know, Ed, what's his face? The older guy is learning to fly, and then the big fat guy is in the back. And they're looking at something, and he's eating a ho-ho or something. He drops it, bumps it into some rod, and that opens up thing, knocks the guy, the flight instructor out, and all hell breaks loose. It was a hilarious episode, but I think that's what you're talking about. There's a few things some people could accidentally bump that are unforeseen that could create a potential issue. Ideally, it wouldn't knock out the flight instructor.
Well, you know, that's pretty... You know,
extreme.
That's pretty extreme.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Made for great TV, though.
Well, you know, that's the kind of stuff we look for, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, talking when you're trying to get a radio call, they don't understand when ATC is actually talking to you because all they hear is yak, 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 yak,
all
the time. And when you're getting a call and you're trying to get them to be quiet so that you can answer that call, and, you know, so you got to have hand signals worked out with them beforehand. And, mm-hmm. and then, of course, there's always that, you know, what happens if they get sick? Now, I myself.
Yeah.
I could deal with that. Ed is not so fortunate in that,
so
you know, because he does not believe that that is a spectator sport.
Right. So he kicks the door open and pushes them out, or what? What is?
Well, no.
I want to know this before I get back in the cockpit.
He just joins them. If you want to have a really good afternoon sometime,
yeah,
just go up with Ed and pull out a barf bag and start puking in it to see what happens. It'll be hilarious.
Wait, could you psych him out a little bit and just act like you were getting sick?
I could.
You just kind of, you know, and just act like, and see if he starts
and
getting
green. And he will get sick.
He really?
Yeah.
It's not the smell. It's just the idea of someone getting sick next to him.
Pretty much.
Yeah, because this has happened before.
Yes.
And what does he do? He just says, okay, we're going down.
He's gonna have to.
He starts blowing right there in the airplane?
Yeah. He'll grab a bag and do it himself, yeah.
Okay, well, I don't really want him to do that, you know, especially if I'm trying to. I'd love to punk him, but I don't necessarily want to trigger a reaction.
Well, as long as you don't open the windows, you're fine.
What do you mean, as long as I... that's the first thing you'd want to do.
No, because you get the airflow going around inside there.
Yeah.
And if somebody starts blowing, it's going all over the place.
All right, so there you... Maybe you learned something today. I did, because I would have definitely opened the window, and that would have been a disaster.
It would have been a disaster. You'd have gotten it all
on
you.
What a great episode of Modern Family.
There you go.
And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.